Good morning. Welcome back to our Daring Faith campaign series. I trust that you've been enjoying this journey as we've looked at what it is to have daring faith. And I trust that you've been journeying with us through the devotionals that are provided in our study guides. There are 40 days of devotionals. And today is day 29. So we've passed the halfway mark and we're moving towards the finish line. So today is week 5 of a 6-week series campaign called Daring Faith. So just continue to dig into the devotionals, continue to dig into your small group meetings, and continue to allow God to grow faith within your own heart so that you too could live out daring faith. Now, before we go any further, let's pause to see how many of us remember last week's memory verse. I'll give you a second. Would you go ahead and just say it out to me? That's right. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And that's found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I always told my small group this week that I always want to mix those numbers up. It's Philippians 4, 13. Today we're going to talk about this topic of facing your fears. And one of the stories that comes to mind for me is the story of Moses. Now, if you're familiar with Moses, he takes years and years of a lifetime, his story is told in scriptures. But I want to look at a couple of things that begin fairly early in Moses' leadership of Israel. Now, if you don't know much about Moses, he was actually born a Hebrew, an Israelite. But he was found by the palace of the Pharaoh. The Pharaoh is the king of Egypt. And he was raised in the house of Pharaoh, had all the best that Egypt could give him. One day he found out he was actually a Hebrew. Anyways, the story moves forward and he gets himself in trouble because he sees an Egyptian soldier beating a Hebrew slave, and he comes to the defense of the Hebrew slave and actually kills the soldier. And as a result, he runs from Egypt and he's gone for about 40 years out of Egypt when God gets a hold of him. And God comes to Moses through what we call the burning bush experience. He's out, Moses out tending sheep, and suddenly he sees this bush that's on fire but not being consumed. He goes over to investigate, and God calls to him. And God says to him, Moses, I'm raising you up to go to Egypt to bring my people out of slavery. Now, the people of Israel have been in slavery for about 430 years at this time. So he goes. Now, going back to Egypt is a risk. It's a risk for Moses. So he's going to have to overcome that fear. So he overcomes this risk, this fear, takes a risk, and he goes back to Egypt. He faces off against Pharaoh. He says, God says, let my people go, basically. And Pharaoh goes, no way. And Pharaoh says, you know what, I'm tired of you coming and asking me, because Moses would repeatedly go. And he said, eventually he made the Egyptian slaves have to work even harder to meet their quotas. And so there was a risk for the people of Israel as well. So then God says, I'm going to get the attention of Egypt and Pharaoh, and he begins to send 10 plagues, and the Bible lays out the 10 plagues, each one of them seemingly getting harsher and harsher, till we get to the last one, which was called the Angel of Death. And on a certain night, God would send the Angel of Death through the land of Egypt and slay every firstborn son. And that got the attention of Pharaoh. That got the attention of Israel. Of Egypt, not Israel. And I guess Israel too, because they got to see the power of their God. And Pharaoh finally said, go, take your people, go, get out of here. There was great mourning in the land of Egypt. And so the Israelites are driven out, and Moses leads them, and they begin the wilderness wanderings as they go from Egypt in slavery to being free people heading towards the promised land, the land promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So as Moses is leading Israel out, and they're a few days' journey out, suddenly they're come to this point where they are at the Red Sea. They need to get across the Red Sea to the other side, other part of the desert as they head towards the Promised Land. And suddenly, Pharaoh's had a change of heart. He said, what have I done? All of our free labor is gone. He tells the army, equip yourselves, go after the Israelites, bring them back. And so what happens in the story here is Israel is now at a juncture in their life where they are wandering a few days out of Egypt and they're in front of the Red Sea. And they can tell that the army of Egypt is coming in from behind. In fact, God puts protection there and God puts a barrier, temporary barrier between the army and the Israelites. And in this time, God opens the Red Sea. But before all that happens, this is what we read, that the people panicked. As you would understand, the people are panicking when they say, well, there's a sea in front of us and an army behind us. What are we going to do? And in Exodus 14:11, we read these words. They said to Moses, was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Really? It would have been better for us to live our lives, our kids' lives, our grandkids' lives. It'd be better for us to stay in Egypt as slaves for generations to come. They forget that they've been crying out for 430 years, Lord, deliver us from slavery. And here they are, panicked. Fear has set in. The Red Sea in front of them and an advancing army behind them. And they don't know what to do. And in their panic, they fear. But like I said, God would open the Red Sea. And the Israelites would be able to cross through to the other side. But here's the thing. When the Egyptian army tried to cross through to the other side, God closed the waters on them and they all drowned and perished. See, the Israelites at that moment were living in fear. But thankfully, their leader Moses lived in faith. See, taking a risk, overcoming your fear, doesn't mean that you throw all caution to the wind. It doesn't mean that you turn off your brain and you leap blindly without knowledge, without understanding. No. Taking a risk means you let go of fear and hold on to faith in God. Taking a risk for a follower of Jesus means that you start by trusting God and using the wisdom that He gave you. Well, today I want to share with you 5 principles for facing your fears. And like we've told you so many times in this series so far, we want to thank Pastor Rick Warren, who has written the study guide we're using and all the material. And he's provided even the notes so that we can do our Sunday teaching and stay on track with what's in your study guide. So we want to thank him for that. And today I encourage you, if you have your study guide with you, would you turn to page 100? In page 100, you'll find the blanks for today's teaching as we continue 5 principles for facing your fears. And the first one is this. It's the principle of information. Get the facts. Get information. See, anytime you need to make a decision, you need to get the facts. You need to understand the information. You need the information. You need the facts so that you can make a wise decision. You want to act in faith, absolutely, but you also want to act wisely. The Bible tells us about acting wisely. Look at Proverbs 13:6. It says this, all who are prudent act with knowledge, but fools expose their folly. Wise people think before they act. They don't just leap blindly and without knowledge. Do everything you can to get the information that you need, and then with the information you have, make the wisest decision you can in that moment. Proverbs 23:23 says this, get the facts at any price and hold on tightly to all the good sense you can get. So get all the information, get all the facts you can from those who are knowledgeable and know what you need to know and share it with you. See, ignorance is not faith. I'll say it again, ignorance is not faith. So That leads us to principle number two, which is the principle of evaluation. Count the cost. You've got the facts. Now look at the facts and count the cost. There's a great story that Jesus tells. In Luke chapter 14, verses 28 and 31, it says this, "But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first getting estimates? Or what king would ever dream of going to war without first sitting down with his counselors and discussing whether his army of 10,000 is strong enough to defeat the 20,000 men who are marching against him?" See, what will it cost you to do what you want to do? No matter what we want to do in life, it's always going to cost us something. Even Jesus said, count the cost. I mean, normally it's always going to cost you some kind of money. And if it's not going to cost you money, it's actually going to cost you time. It's always going to cost you time. It's often going to cost you money. It may not be a lot of money. There may just be a little bit. It may cost you some of your reputation. You may have to go out and take a risk and face your fear and know that you've built up this reputation so that people could trust you. And if things don't go exactly as you want, your reputation could take a little bit of a hit. It could cost you some of your reputation. It almost certainly will cost you some emotional energy. You're going to put yourself into whatever task, whatever goal, whatever step of faith you're willing to take. It's going to take an emotional toll on you. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Do you have a support structure that's going to help you maintain as you move forward? What will you have to stop doing in order to do something new? See, there's only so many things you could keep adding to our schedule. Sometimes to do something new, we need to let go of something old. It's not something bad. It's just something, we just need to make room for something new. See, it's always easier to get into something than it is to get out of something. What do I mean? It's so easy and sometimes fun to get ourselves into debt, but it takes a lot of hard work and sometimes a lot of time to get out of debt. It's easy to pile things into our schedules to say yes, 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 yes to every meeting, every opportunity. It's so easy to get our schedules busy, but it's so hard sometimes to just clear off the schedule, say no to some people, turn down some opportunities. It's so much easier to get in than get out. It's so much easier to get into a relationship than it is to get out of a relationship, because our hearts are tied. Our hearts are tied to people. But sometimes you need to count the cost. See, every decision you make has a price tag. So you need to count the cost. The third principle is the principle of preparation. Plan your steps. Think about what you are going to do. Proverbs 14:15 says this, "The simple believe anything, but the prudent give thought to their steps." And Proverbs 16:9 says, "We should make plans, counting on God to direct us." You notice that? There are two parts to that verse. There's man's part and there's God's part, right? Man's part is we make plans, but God's part is God would direct us. And we kind of have this understanding in this verse here that we have to do our part and trust God to do his part. I think sometimes we've got that verse all mixed up and we think, well, if we give it to God, we'll just sit back and let God do it. But we're going to see in a few minutes that that's not the case. You see, there's planning and prayer go together. Planning and prayer go together. And so we need to understand that we have our part, the planning, and there's God's part. And that's where we pray to God and help him. Leads us to our next principle. It's the principle of declaration. It's announce your goal. See, announcing your goal in a way is a statement of faith. When you announce, I'm going to do something, I'm going to do this or that, then it's set a goal for yourself and it's telling others around you that you've got a goal and it helps you to move towards it. James 4:15 says this, What you should say is this: if the Lord is willing, we will live and do this or do that. If the Lord is willing, or God willing. Many times you'll meet some of our saints, our older saints, who would say, oh, we're going to do that, God willing. It really comes from this verse. We're making our plans and preparing, like we just talked about, and we're saying, God, if you allow it, we are going to move forward with it. We are going to declare where we are moving. See, announcing your goal builds your faith. When you put a goal up, even some, think personally, not just spiritual, but think of your personal goals. When you put them up on a sticky on your wall or on the mirror of your bathroom or wherever you put some things, they're there to encourage you, to keep the goal before you, to set the place that you're going. You're announcing to yourself, this is my goal, this is where I'm going, and this is what I want to accomplish. And it also makes you accountable to yourself and to your support system around you. So if you set a goal and you tell your spouse or your best friends or your workmates, these are my goals, they can come along, and if they're on your side, they're going to encourage you. They're going to say, yes, way to go. You can make a goal that says, you know, I'm going to work out 3 days a week, and you can say to a friend, help me be accountable. I'm going to do this 3 times a week. You know, and if I don't do it, I owe you a McDonald's burger or something, right? Accountability, which helps you to declare, announce your goal, helps you to move towards it. And the last principle we see here is the principle of initiation. And I love this one. It's let go and leap out. Let go and leap out. This is a critical step in facing your fears and taking risks and moving forward with God and even in life. One of the best ways I think I could describe this to you is think of a trapeze artist. I don't know if you've ever been to a circus or seen it on TV or in a movie. You've got the on a movie, you got like a big tent or a big auditorium, and the trapeze artists are usually way up on the top and they're high above the crowd. And they're not working with a net for safety. That's in practice, but never in performance. And a trapeze artist, they fly up in the rooftops, and they hold onto a bar, which is like a swing, and they go and they swing and they get their momentum, and then they jump from one swing to the other, or from one bar to the other, sometimes to a partner who's going to catch them, and they're going to do tricks. And you've probably seen this, or you can imagine it right now, right? And but I want you to think for a moment of that trapeze artist acrobating up in the air. And for a split second of time, when they want to go from one bar to the other, or from the bar to a partner, there is a moment in time where they have to let go of the bar and leap forward towards the next bar or their partner. And for a split moment in time, they are totally suspended with nothing to hold on to except their training. And they let go. And they leap forward and they perform the maneuver and the act, and the crowd cheers, and on it goes. But you see, in order for them to move forward, they had to let go. That's what daring faith is like. We need to learn to let go and leap forward. That's the story I shared with you about Israel. They were escaping from slavery, wandering through the desert, and they come to the Red Sea, and they're stuck, literally stuck, between a Red Sea and an advancing army of Egypt, and they're fearful, and fear rises up within them, and they make those excuses. We told you, Moses, leave us alone, let us die in Egypt. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than to die in the wilderness. Really? They're afraid, and their fear caused them to not think clearly. I mean, they said that it's better to be a slave than to try and be free. See, fear causes you to not think clearly. And for that moment of time, they panicked and fear rose up in them. You see, fear causes you to stop and go back. Even when what you came from is not good, fear tricks you into thinking, I can't move forward, I can't let go, I can't leap forward. See, there's fear in the unknown that lies ahead. There's fear in moving to a new territory. There's fear that maybe you're going to make the wrong decision. I mean, think about it. I mean, we have a tendency as people to sometimes let fear paralyze us. I mean, why do we stay in unhealthy situations that we know are unhealthy? Why do we put up with self-defeating habits that we know will destroy us? Why do we put up with hang-ups that are bad for us? Why do we put up with relationships that are destructive in our lives instead of getting help to make those relationships better and stronger for us? Why do we settle for the nightmares of life instead of going after the things that God has for us? See, because we're afraid of the pain of change. Every time there's change in our lives, it's going to bring something unsettling. It's going to bring some decisions. It's going to bring some choices. And sometimes we think, you know, it's better if I just stay the way I am. But think about it. Was it really better for Israel to remain in Egypt in slavery? Or was it better to leave slavery behind, move through the wilderness, through the Red Sea, heading towards the Promised Land? What is the solution to the fear you are facing? How do you get the courage to face your fear? Well, Psalm 56 verse 3 says this, "But when I am afraid, I will put my confidence in you. Yes, I will trust the promises of God. And since I am trusting him, what can mere man do to me?" See, courage and fear can coexist. See, I think we've said this a few weeks back, that fear isn't the courage isn't the absence of fear. There's courage is rising above our fear. God wants to help you overcome your fear. God wants to give you the courage that you need today. Philippians 4:13, it was our memory verse last week, but hear it in a different version today. It says this, "I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me." Isn't that amazing? Christ gives me the strength to face another day. And that leads us to this week's memory verse in Ephesians 3, verse 20. It says this, "With God's power working in us, God can do much, much more than anything we can ask or imagine." The key to daring faith is this: move against your fear. Take action. Move against your fear. God took Israel to the Red Sea. Fear rose in them, but God knew that he had a way through. He would stop the advancing army for a while they could cross on dry ground through a parted Red Sea. God had made a way for them. They had to move against their fear. And then there's an interesting verse in Exodus 14:15. The Living Bible puts it this way. "Then the Lord said to Moses, quit praying and get the people moving. Forward, march." I mean, it's time to stop talking about things, and it's time to start putting things into motion. It's time to stop just praying about it. It's time to take action. It's time to move forward. That's what God said to Moses. "You've prayed, you've sought me, you've cried out for 430 years of slavery. The people are panicking at the edge of the Red Sea, but stop it. Quit praying and get people moving. Forward, move." Or forward, march. I have a question for you today. What is your personal Red Sea? In other words, what is it that you are facing today? That you're standing in front of, and as you look at the obstacle in front of you, you think, I don't see a way through. As you look at the obstacle of your life, you stop and you wonder and you say, I don't know what to do. You feel trapped. Maybe you're in a situation where you feel trapped. You can't see a way out. You don't know what's going to happen next. What is the thing that is making you fearful? What is the thing that has worried you? What is the thing that you can't seem to shake or get rid of? What is the thing that is stopping you from taking hold of your situation? Now, I want you to know that it's time to face your fear. Time to stop causing fear to stop you. Time to let go and leap out. Time to trust God that He could part your Red Sea and bring you through. See, God didn't bring you to a Red Sea to drown you in it. God brought you to the Red Sea to show you His power and His might. God brought you to the Red Sea so that you could put your daring faith in Him and trust Him to protect your back while you move forward, while you march forward with Him. Today, if you feel like you're standing at the edge of your Red Sea, you feel like fear is flooding your heart, I want you to hear what God is saying to you. It's time to forward march. It's time to look to God and not your Red Sea. It's time to trust God's promises and not the voice of fear that is whispering in your mind. What you need is to trust God with your life today. If that's you today, if you're watching and listening and you're saying, Pastor, I'm at that place in my life. I don't understand what's ahead of me. I'm fearful of where I'm at. I don't know what's next. I feel trapped. I feel fearful. I want to pray for you today. And I want you to know that as I pray for you today, I want you to take that situation and begin to tell God about it. Even while I'm praying, even right now, just say, God, here is my situation. God, here is my Red Sea. This is where I'm lifting up to you. I'm trusting you to open a way to let me forward march. Let me pray for you right now. Father, I just pray for all of those who have opened their hearts to you right now. Those who want to march forward with you. Father, they're standing at a crossroads. They're standing at a place where the Red Sea has engulfed them, it feels like. They feel fearful. They feel trapped. They don't see a way out. All they see is obstacles before and behind. But Father, I ask today by your Spirit that you would begin to lift fear, that you would actually cause courage to rise up in place of that fear. And God, like you did for Israel of old in a ways that we need it today, that you would make a way through the Red Sea for every one of us right now. Begin your work today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you've been watching today or you've been watching through this series, and we've talked a lot about faith and trusting God, and as you sit there, you say, you know what, I don't really know that kind of a God. I don't really know Jesus. I want you to know everything we've been teaching is based in the Bible, and it's based on who Jesus is and God's love for you. And we want you to know that you can have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And so we want to help you in that. So if you're watching saying, I want to have this kind of faith, how do I do it? Well, pick up your phone right now and text us the word love, just one word, to 416-267-1189. Please follow those prompts. And when you do that, we will be in touch with you. And I actually have something that I want to tell you about. So if you're doing that today, or you're new to the faith, or you're checking out God, we have an Alpha course that's every Monday night. You can join it tomorrow at 7 7:13. Yes, I said that right. 7:13. Time so you don't forget, hopefully. And you can join it. It's virtual. You log on a phone, a computer, a tablet, you can just be there with us. And we're going to be answering questions about what it is to have faith in God, what it is to know God and know Jesus. So even when you text us that, you can text the same number. Just text the word Alpha once you've given us your name and everything, and we will reach out to you and have you give you the link so you can join us tomorrow on that. So we look forward to having you do that with us. All right? Thank you for being with us at Highway Online today. I trust that you've been encouraged by God's word and God's message to you. I want to remind you that we are open, holding in-person services in the Highway Building in Scarborough. So if you live locally, if you live anywhere close by, anywhere in the GTA even, we invite you to come and worship live with us and get to meet other people who are on this faith journey together with you. And so we invite you to do that. Just go to our website, highwaygospel.ca, click the button to reserve your seat. We're following all pandemic protocols to make this a safer place and keep you as safe as we can. Either way, we look forward to seeing you again next week, either on site or online. In the meantime, have a great week. Trust God and believe Him.